Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's a family. It's a family. Hallelujah. I said it's the family. It's the family of God. Amen. So glad I'm a part of the family of God. Glory to God. I'm so glad you're a part of the family of God. Yeah. Hallelujah. People are taking a little break here. We're going to get everybody back together in just a minute. Glory. Hallelujah. We hope you've had a wonderful Thanksgiving weekend. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. 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 The message today is leftover blessings. So I know you've probably been eating leftovers for 2 or 3 days now, maybe still be, but it's going to be God's given me a good word. And amen. It's going to be a blessing, I pray, to you. Hallelujah. You got your Bibles? Turn to St. Matthew, if you would, this morning. Message God put in my heart the first of the month, about the second there. I was watching our Bishop Jakes, and God just touched my heart with that word and kind of expounded on it, and I trust that you will let me share that with you today, and it will bless you as much as it blessed me. Amen. Amen. I believe it's appropriate. The message today is very unique in that it is called Leftover Blessings. Here after Thanksgiving, that is, I believe, appropriate. And I know you have leftover turkey, or you did, and probably still do, some stuffing and maybe some mac and cheese and greens and whatever casseroles you had. Amen. We all have our traditions, and it was especially beautiful this year. First Lady just worked 2-3 days cooking. Her daughter's helping her. It was a wonderful time, which we do not take for granted. Amen. How many had a great time with the family? You had time, and amen, and you're hallelujah. All right, and you rolled out of the bed this morning, did you? And roll on in here. All right. Hallelujah. We just thank God for it. So I know you probably got every kind, and well, I want you to know there are leftover blessings too, amen? And I want to direct you to them. We're in St. Matthew, the 15th chapter. If you'll look at the 21st verse. When you find it and you've got it, if you would like to stand with us to your feet, and we like to honor the author of this book, the greatest book, amen, ever written, the bestseller ever penned, by God. St. Matthew, the 15th chapter, the 21st verse. You've got to say, I've got it. All right. All right. I know you got it. Hallelujah. Look at someone else and say, I know you really got it. Come on. You really got it going. You really got it going. Yeah. Amen. 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 Verse 21, and then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. Tell her to get along, they said, for she's bothering us with all her begging. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Somebody say it with me, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Living Bible says it doesn't seem right to take bread from the children and throw it to the dogs. But she said, yes, it is, she replied, for even the puppies beneath the table are permitted to eat the crumbs that fall. What humility. Amen. And then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Heavenly Father, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. You sent your word and healed us, you said, and delivered us from all our fears, from every evil. We thank you. You're a God that is a keeping God. We ask your word now, Father. It speaks really for itself. I thank you for the privilege, for the calling. I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing, how you work through us, speak through us, help us. I thank you for helping me now. Help me, Father, to speak a word before these waiting hearts who have come this way. Lord, let this be the best hour of their day, in this the first day of their week. Let it be because of you and because of your presence, because of your power and your love. I give you praise now, and I thank you for them. Thank you for your word. Thank you. Help us now, and help me, I pray, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated in his presence. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. While it is true here, Jesus shares with us in this gospel a very profound and prolific exposition of a miracle that takes place before our eyes. I would suggest to you for a few moments that it is not for the purpose of the miracle that he speaks to us, but the miracle put in context a transition of times and opportunities. I may know we have times and opportunities. The Bible is very concisely written, so when it gives us details, we must examine the details, for in every morsel of truth that is expounded to us, there is revelation knowledge. Amen. God has something to reveal to us. He has passed by the upper coast here, Jesus has, of Tyre and Sidon. He's come to the coast, and he's come to the edge. He's come to the border. Thank God for a God being the kind of God who will come to the edge. Amen. Not just simply a God who stays in the center. He goes to the edge, and on the border he finds a Canaanite woman, a woman of Canaan, who comes to him, and evidently she has traveled some distance to see him. And she says to him, listen what she says. She says to him, hallelujah. Anybody know what she says to him? I rebuke every devil right now. Jesus' name. Have you ever had a brain cramp? She says to him, Lord, have mercy on me. Somebody raise your hand and reach toward me and say, Lord, have mercy on him. Thank you, Lord. We bind every bit of confusion in Jesus' name. Amen? Hallelujah. We know God's got a blessing, and so thank you, Lord, for making it clear. Lord, have mercy on me. Now, I want you to notice the way in which she approaches the Master. She does not come in arrogance or hostility. She does not come in frustration. She does not come with a vision of grandeur, but humbly she comes before him, almost as if she knows that he knows something about her. Are you still there? You know, people pray differently when they're guilty. I know you got to sit there and act like you don't know what I'm talking about. Amen. But when you come before God and you know you haven't been doing what's right, there ought to be a certain spirit of humility. She doesn't come to him and just mention her request. She knew that she had no right to speak to him at all. Last of all, it was the custom of the times for a woman to come and speak to him was inappropriate anyway. Jesus lived in a time that women were not treated as they are treated today. They were treated as second-class citizens, denied opportunities, rights, and rituals, and in the sociological times demanded that she take a back seat, defer and acquiesce to him because of nothing else than he was a man and a priest at that. She was a woman, a Canaanite woman. A Canaanite woman means that she comes from an idolatrous background. A woman of Canaan, she was not necessarily a spiritual holy woman, and yet she had a need, and she knew where to take it. Hallelujah. What do you do when your background doesn't line up with your faith? When I can't look at your history and determine your destiny, what do you do when you know you've been on the wrong side of the tracks, and yet you come to Jesus expecting something from him? How? Now, as a woman of Canaan, she shouldn't have even known about Jesus, but somebody told the woman about Jesus. They took the time to tell her that there was a man in the city who was going, giving sight to the blind. He was healing the sick and raising the dead. And this person had to have faith, because why would you tell a woman of Canaan about Jesus when Gentiles were excommunicated from the commonwealth of Israel? She was a Samaritan. They were a Canaanite, and they just were not part of Israel. But they told her what seemed like wasted words. But they stuck. Amen. Sometimes you'll share your faith with somebody who seems to pay no attention, and it seems like a wasted spit and wind, but you don't know when you sow a seed how long it will take to get a harvest. Are you hearing me? I was in Walmart yesterday. We were here and needed a few supplies and need to run to get two things to finish what they were doing. And as I walked in, the produce area there, if you're familiar with this area, you walk in, the produce is there on the left, and I moved in over there, began to walk, and where I was going, And I looked down. There was a little shoe, a little black girl shoe, little ruffle, little lace on it. You could tell it was brand new, probably not more than that long. So it was a very small child. And so I picked it up and put it in my basket and thought, I'll turn that in. Maybe somebody will want to, you know, lost a shoe and want to ask somebody where it's at. Amen. Especially since it was brand new. Hallelujah. And so I went, did the things I needed to do, was in there probably a good 15, 20 minutes getting what needed to be gotten. And I'm in the line checking out. And usually I go through the speed line, if you know the thing, they're self-checking. But this time I had too much stuff. And how many know, don't you get aggravated when somebody has too many more than 20 items and they're standing in front of you and you're trying to keep the victory? Trying to say, oh, Lord, help them, Jesus. No, it's not help them, help me. Yeah. Teach them how to count. There you go. And so I'm in line checking out, and I hand the teller there the shoe, and she puts it under the counter. Well, there was a couple behind me I had noticed that has a little girl, a little Asian couple, beautiful couple, probably middle-aged. After I was there and did that, after maybe a couple minutes, he pointed to me, said, that shoe, that's our shoe. That's my girl's shoe. So they got the shoe, and there was the shoe, you know? And I thought, wow, isn't that unique how out of all this big store, I get this couple with a little girl behind me. How many know that is not a coincidence? Nothing just happens. And so I went through the line. Her husband was standing over away against the wall waiting for her to come through. And I passed through and stopped a few steps. And I thought, you know, this is a divine appointment. Amen. So I got out my little invitation, got out a couple little tracks. You're someone special for the wife with a nice rose on it. And how you know you can get to heaven. Amen. And went back and said, this is for you. I said, he took it like he was waiting for it. Amen. I said, this is too good an opportunity to mess up because nothing just happens. Amen. So we take the opportunity. And you don't know what seeds will come from that, what harvest will flow from that. How many know when God brings people to you, he's just not bringing them to you because you're so good looking and so nice, so beautiful. You are all that, but he's bringing them to you because they have a need, even though you may not see the need. But if we're sensitive, the Lord will help us to go out of our way and stop our busyness, amen, and to realize that we have an opportunity to plant a seed. Woo, glory to God. And out of every seed comes a harvest. Amen. How many know it's good when you're planting good seeds? You can expect a harvest. Amen. Now, maybe when they told her that there was nothing wrong in her life, maybe she just kind of shrugged it off. But then when her daughter was vexed with the devil, it's amazing when you get trouble in your house. Now, trouble in your house, how many know it's much different than trouble on your job? You can get off at 5 and leave all of them behind but what do you do when you leave the trouble at work and come home to trouble at home? Mm-hmm. That was the worst kind of trouble. It was not even marital trouble because, you know, right or wrongly, you can divorce a spouse. But you cannot divorce your child. That's a good place to say amen unless you're mad at your kids today. Amen. Yeah, the worst kind of trouble. Yeah, and she says, my daughter, Jesus, is grievously vexed. Not just vexed, but grievously vexed with the devil. It's one thing to be vexed. It's another thing to be grievously vexed. She didn't bring it up at first because she knew that she had no rights. And so she just says, have mercy on me, thou son of David. And I want you to notice that when she calls him the son of David, she calls him by his messianic name. She says, I know that you are the Messiah for the children of Israel. So I approach you understanding that I have no rights. I haven't been living right. I don't serve you. I'm not clean. I'm not good. I'm not moral, but I'm desperate. It's a dangerous to fool with a desperate individual. Desperate people do desperate things. Amen. And I can tell you that in that desperation, desperate people will do stuff that is not even in the rule book. Desperate people will go to the limit. This was a desperate woman. Have mercy on me, thou son of David. She cried after Jesus. And you have to love the fact that she approached him in a spirit of humility, not arrogantly, but humbly saying, Lord, have mercy on me. I know you are the Messiah. I know you are the son of David. And then Jesus' boys, his men, his staff, his disciples, his board, his henchmen, they said, Lord, let us send her away, for she crieth after us. Isn't it funny how little men like to exercise big power? It's never the big guy you have trouble with. It's always the little underlings who have a little bit of authority. You know how it is on your job. Yeah. And it's gone to their head. And so they say, send her away. And you know, I know they were little men because little men always try to be big and important. And they said, she crieth after us. That woman hadn't said nothing to them. She didn't cry after them. She was crying after Jesus. Now, these are the disciples. I mean, know if there's hope for them, there's hope for anybody. Uh-huh. Yeah, send her away. And so he says, I am not come but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He says, you have asked me to do something that is a contradiction to my theology. It's inappropriate that I should minister to you because I'm on a mission, and my mission is to go after the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And you're not even in the house. And he says, you've asked me to do something that is inappropriate because I'm on a mission to the lost, and I'm sorry about your daughter. I'm so sorry about that. But it would be the equivalent of you asking an insurance company to cover a car wreck where you didn't have a policy. And no matter how bad the accident is, if you're not covered by the policy, you can't expect them to offer the benefits. Amen? So she's asking for benefits for which she has no coverage. You know what it is to ask the Lord for benefits which you're not covered for. I know righteousness exalts a nation, Lord, but I haven't been too right today. And I still need you to help me. Can I break it down for you? Maybe out of this, a prayer that you might recognize. Lord, if you get me out of this one. Hallelujah. I'm going to do better next time. I promise. I'm going to do better. I'll start going to church, Lord, if you get me out of this. I'm going before the court on the 15th, and this is Sunday, the 12th, Lord. And here you come to church and haven't seen you since 5 Easters ago. But, Lord, he says, but I'm not come to the lost sheep of Israel. Now they ask Jesus to send her away without even communicating with her, saying nothing to her. Just tell her to go. She's bothering me. But he started talking to her. Woo. Oh, if he ever starts talking to you. He started talking to her. If you can just get him to say something, may not even be what you want to hear, but if you can just get him to say something, at least you know that he heard you. I don't know who this is for today, but the Lord says he heard you. The Lord says he heard you. Woo. Everybody else wants to send you away. But the Lord turned his head and said, you may be wrong, but I heard you. You may be weak, but I heard you. You may be in trouble, but I heard you. And when she knew that he heard her, she got excited. She got all happy. I mean, when you know God hears you, it'll get you happy. He may not have said what she wanted him to say, but at least I know he heard me. And then he says to her, and he could hear my problem. If he heard my problem, then he can hear my praise. Hallelujah. I don't know nothing but Jesus about Jesus. I don't know nothing about him, but I heard the church folks say that if God did have a weakness, if he did have a weakness, I'm not saying that he did, but if he did have a weakness, it would be praise. So since I don't have any rights, I'm just going to get down here. And she started worshiping him. Never underestimate a worshiper. You're looking at a woman talking about she's got the nerve. You know, you people be looking at her and say, she's got the nerve, praising God. She had a baby out of wedlock. I know he's not trying to praise the Lord. I remember him. She flirted with my husband. Shut up. Because praise will turn things around. I said, praise will turn things around. God inhabits the praises. Praise is like a call. Well, as soon as he hears praise, God moves. Woo. That's why the devil wants to close your mouth. He wants to bombard you so you don't have a praise. But the psalmist said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I will make my boast in you, Lord, and the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Woo. Praise is a weapon, is it not? Yeah. So you could tell she was getting closer because she called him Lord. She said, Lord, help me. Somebody say, Lord, help me. I can't do this by myself. Yeah. I did everything I know how to do. I took her temperature. I checked her fever. I did home remedies. I touched her. I encouraged her. I sent her to therapy. I got her some counseling, and she's still grievously vexed. When you've done everything you can do, and it's still not working, Lord, help me. Don't forget that prayer, because there is help for you in God. The devil says there's no help for you. The psalmist said the devil come up beside him and said, there's no help for you in God. If he would have helped you, he'd have helped you already. There's something wrong with you. That's one of his favorite lines. You've done too much. You did this. God doesn't really. He's got some favorite people. He likes the pastor, but he don't like you too good. Don't you believe that lie? The devil is a lie. Amen. She says, I can't do this by myself. What I like about the text is she asked for help in the presence of haters. Because the text has already told us that the people around Jesus didn't want her to be there anyway. But what I like about the Lord is that your hating on me doesn't stop me from getting my help. Hallelujah. I may know not everybody is happy about your blessing. Well, I better not go there. That might kill the anointing this morning. I know she doesn't want you to help me. I know he doesn't want me to get help. I know they don't want me to get help. But they not want me to be blessed doesn't stop me from being blessed. Hallelujah. Just because they don't want me to be blessed and they're actively working at times to take the blessing and to stop the blessing and stop blessing themselves doesn't mean God stopped blessing me. And doesn't that make the devil mad? When the devil works through people and does things and thoughts, well, we got him now. We pulled that from him. Pulled that rug out from under him. God says, that's all right, I got another one here. That's not going to stop your blessing. Amen. I did everything I knew how to do, and I can't get out of this by myself, she says. If I could have fixed this without you, I wouldn't even be here. Huh? But everything I did by myself turned out to be a flat zero. And I'm running out of time. She said, I'm running out of time. Whew. God, when you know you're running out of time, help me, Jesus. And only a lunatic keeps doing the same thing over, expecting a different result. So I'm through doing the stuff I used to do, because if it didn't help me yesterday, it's not going to help me today. Time to make a change. Somebody shout, change. Lord, help me. I know I'm not in your house. I know I'm not of the seed of Abraham. I know I'm not a part of the holy folk. I'm not holy, but help me. I'm not righteous, but help me. I haven't always served you, but help me. Woo! I haven't always read my Bible. I haven't read it in a month, but help me. I haven't sought your face for a long time, but I'm in trouble, and I need your help. I may know it took me 20 years to know that I needed help. The pride of man, huh? 20 years to figure out that I needed help from the woman that you gave me. Who ever heard of a man needing help from the woman that God gave him? Come on, can we talk a little turkey here since it's Thanksgiving weekend? We hear you, but that's all we do. It's basically in one ear and out the other. Come on, be honest. I'm the man. I get paid for this. I'm supposed to know what's going on here. Amen. I lead, you follow. But the great fear is we're going to be sitting on the curb if you keep leading the way you're leading. I'm in it now, so I might as well stay there. And so it takes a lot of years for us to understand that that woman is part of us. God took her out of us. That she has a sixth sense. Not sick. Sixth. I know you think it's sick, but it's sixth. And she knows you don't listen to you, Elizabeth. You don't hear really what she's saying, because you're going to go and do what you're going to do anyway. Come on now. Now I really need help, Jesus. I need you to help me. I didn't know this was going to be a message. I needed more help than y'all. But I finally found out I needed to listen. This woman has saved my bacon a whole lot of times. And it fried a whole lot of times because I didn't listen. Amen. She told me, you better watch that person. There's something wrong with that person. Nah. They're not. Everything's good. And if there was something, God, well, that'll help us. We can work with that. We can. Yeah, okay. Sure enough. She was right. Doesn't that hurt you to say that? She was. Lord have mercy. I think it's called pride versus humility. Woo, glory to God. Yeah. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing. Yeah. He kept on talking to her. You're not in the family, but he said it's not right. And can you imagine while Jesus is talking to her, Philip and Thomas are mumbling, why are you talking to her in the first place anyway? We need to be on down the road going to somebody really ready to receive. But he kept on talking to her in the midst of the controversy and the confusion. When other people throw their hands up and walk away, the Lord keeps talking to you. He may not be pleased, but he's talking to you. Glory to God. Almost like he's talking to himself. He says, it's not meat, it's not meat. He says, don't keep praising me like that. Quit it. Come on now. Father, she won't stop praising my name. She keeps on praising my name. I know I'm supposed to go to Israel, but look at her. She keeps praising my name. I don't know what I'm or who I'm talking this to this morning, but the more you keep praising him, and he said, it's not meat that we give the children's bread to the dogs. Now, if that didn't get you mad, God ever got you mad? Come on, be honest. Let me break it down. Has he ever not done what you wanted him to do? Come on. Yeah. And now he says, it wouldn't be right for me to feed you when I got children over there who need bread too. How many know if there's a decision to feed your children or somebody else, you're going to take care of your children. My children are going to eat. Hallelujah. And so Jesus is looking at this from a little bit of different perspective. He said, I'm going to take care of my kids. I'm not going to give it to you till I give it to them. Well, you know, she didn't know nothing much about Jesus, but she knew something about his kids. When kids are raised with too much, they get wasteful. Oh, got some amens on that. When people are used to stuff, they take it for granted. I'll tell you, as a preacher, the hardest church to preach in is a church that has gotten used to you. Because the same folk who would have run over you and somebody to get in here now talk about, I don't know if I'm going to church or not. You're fat off the word of God. And God may know God is moved by hunger. A lot of folks are not hungry. And you can tell why they don't come to the table. Why are they not hungry? I would offer this to you that some are eating too much slop from the world. When you eat fast food and slop, it's going to take your hunger away. No wonder you don't have a hunger for the Word of God. No wonder you're not anticipating what God's Word is going to be for today. What God's going to say. No wonder you got other things to do. Amen. But those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, those are the ones that shall be filled. Hallelujah, filled. You can be all pretty and be empty. You can be all handsome and be empty. But if you hunger, I hunger after you, Lord. Give me a hunger, Lord. Help me to not be filling my belly with the things of this world. It's not meat that I give the children's bread. Yeah. I don't know. You don't have to be right. You just have to want to be right. Huh? Lord, I'm hungry. She said, all right, okay. You're going to feed your kids, okay. Feed your kids, she said. Let me tell you what I know about your children. Your children waste. Your little finicky, uppity, self-righteous children. Who said that? Waste enough to heal my daughter. Did you hear what I said? You waste enough glory to raise Lazarus from the dead. You waste opportunities, and somebody who's hungry for God says, Lord, if I could just get to that church right there, she said, go ahead and feed them. I'll take the leftovers. Hallelujah. I'll take the leftovers. Tell you, sometimes leftovers are better. Huh? Some things, they have to age a little bit, huh? That mac and cheese is even better leftover. Them greens are even better leftover. I shouldn't be talking about food. They say that's not good to do when you're talking to people and lunchtime is approaching. Hallelujah. She said, I'll take the leftovers and I'll do more with the crumbs than they did with the whole loaf. Amen. Amen. I want to talk to people here today. Some of you don't have a whole lot going for you or us. And you try to make people think you do, and some just even quit trying. But some have a whole loaf talent of blessings and degrees and whatever. But maybe all you got is a crumb. But how many know the crumb you got? You know how to work that crumb. Hallelujah. I may only have a crumb, but I'm working that crumb. I said, I'm working that crumb. I don't have much of a loaf here, but I'm working that crumb, praise God. And I'm going to keep working it. I said, I'm going to keep working it. Yeah. I've always told you that I've been tempted to throw in the towel, but I was raised with all girls, and you can't find a towel. They have a towel for everything. If I could have found one, I'd have thrown it in a long time ago. Hallelujah. So as I close today, the devil might have told you that you lost everything. You don't have nothing. But the devil is a liar. The Holy Ghost said you got something left, and you got to use what you got left to get right. I said you got to use what you got left to get right. Somebody ought to give God a praise right there. Hallelujah. Use what you got left. Use what you got left to get right. And I pray this word today quickens your spirit and renews your enthusiasm and gives you everything you need to seize the things that God has for you. God has things for you. So don't despise the day of small beginnings. He said, don't despise it. Don't worry about how small you start. Don't worry about how insignificant it may seem to other people and to you. God has a way of using the smallest things to bless you. Hallelujah. You never know what God is going to use to bless you. Woo! And he loves to bless his children. He loves to surprise you. He loves surprises more than you do. But he knows he made you in his image, and that's why you like surprises. Amen. I ask the Lord every Sunday, I say, Lord, surprise me. Oh, I got surprised this morning. I won't tell you what surprised me, but it was good. Amen. Hallelujah. So I pray, don't worry about it. God can use little things, perhaps trivial things, to bring great blessing in your life. I said, God can use even trivial things to bring great blessing in your life. And that's what he's after. That's what he's come to do, to give you life and life more abundant. Amen. That's why you got to be careful how you treat people, how you treat situations. You can spoil your blessing. You can cut yourself off. Be surprised when it's come through people that seem to be less, but God did something more. Glory to God. And so the Lord reminds us every now and then, love is patient, love is kind. Love is not self-assuming. Amen. All of the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. He gave me that yesterday. I figured I was going to need it before the day was over. I may know God will talk to you in the morning so the devil don't get you in the afternoon. And so where I was just about ready to go there with somebody, God fills us with Calvary's love. Whew. And instead of knocking them down and putting them out, we lift them up, we help them, we do something that'll help them get over what is over on them, and then we walk away with the victory. But if I hadn't had that word, somebody would have walked away all right. Amen. Because I mean, sometimes it's right there. Yeah, I can taste it. Oh, my God. No more perfect words have I ever had for you. Let's talk to George about it. Amen. You know the temptation. There's a right time to say something. Amen. A word fitly spoken, the Bible says, is like silver in a bowl of apples, something beautiful. There's a time to tell it like it is, but you got to tell it with love. Amen. And you got to think more about that person than you think about yourself. Because the Bible says, don't judge, lest you be judged. But then it also says, you which are spiritual, judge all things. You can't live without making judgments. Some of you already made judgments about me. It's part of life. I like him or I hate him. I'm going back or you'll never see me again. And I can't wait for him to get over. Amen. So what's a spiritual judgment? A spiritual judgment is a judgment that comes from love that says, I care more about you than I do about my own feelings and my own welfare and what I think and what I want. I care about you because God cares about me. He careth for me. Glory to God. So I can spiritually judge a situation, but is my heart right? Or am I condemning and being judgmental because there's some deficiency in me that I have to get up on you by putting you down because I'm feeling a bit small about me? Come on. Glory to God. Thank you for helping us, Lord. Been in this almost 40 years pastoring, and how many know he's still helping me? You think you got it over there? You don't have to worry about that anymore. Just when you think you got all that taken care of, old Splitfoot will come by and God will let him tempt you just to remind you that you need him. Amen. God can even use trivial things to bring great blessing. And that's why you ought to be careful. Careful how you treat people, how you treat situations. Just because it starts small doesn't mean it's small. Huh? Final word. God says, I'm going to give you leftover property. I'm going to give you leftover business. I'm going to give you leftover opportunities and leftover blessings. I'm going to give you stuff other folks threw away. And they said it wasn't going to be anything. I'm going to give you leftover blessings. But he said, never step over the leftovers. The miracle is always in the leftovers. Gather up the basket, Jesus said, full of what other folks left. So that the next time you need a miracle, it will always be in the leftovers. Hallelujah. Give God a praise. Hallelujah to God. Come on, stand with me. Keep praising him. Keep praising him. Stand with me. Give God a praise for the leftover. Leftover blessings. Woo. And I thank God for your leftover blessings. God is able to take the leftover blessings and bless you even greater than what was the whole loaf. Somebody's here today and God just wants you to know that whatever's left over of that situation, whatever's left over of that circumstance, he's going to take the leftover and he's going to make it even more of a blessing than if you'd have had the whole loaf. Somebody needs that today. If I'm speaking by the authority and by the unction of the Holy Ghost, I thank God for leftovers. Woo! I thank God for throwaways. Come on, ye, send her away. She's bothering us. But Jesus kept talking to her. Ooh. If he'll keep talking to you, you may be speechless, but he's still talking to you. Still loves you. And he's got leftover blessings for you. May you have a blessed and powerful week this week. And pursue with all diligence the things God has prepared for you in life. Because we love you. God loves you. And we ought to love one another. Amen. Happy Thanksgiving. God loves you. Whew. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost in here. Somebody, if you really get a hold of this, and maybe you already have, you got some leftover blessings from some things that are just not there anymore. The loaf ain't there. Somebody else ate it, took it. Devil stole it, whatever. But God says, don't you worry about even the crumbs, even a crumb. Watch what I do with a leftover blessing. Father, I thank you for this beautiful congregation. I thank you, Father, for what you've done to bring them through all of the things that they have come through in their life. I thank you, Father, for what you're moving now to do, Father, with the little that may be left. You're a God of multiplication. And Father, I thank you that you are set to bless more. And the Bible says that that daughter says, oh, what great faith you have. And from that moment, from that hour, her daughter was made perfectly whole. Father, I thank you for making perfectly whole things that grievously vex our soul, things that work on us, things that get on our last nerve, things that have been working on us for a long time, things that have been wearing us down, things that have been wearing us out, places where we feel like just throwing our hands up. Oh, God. Ooh, Lord, help that one. Help me, Jesus, who has not been in that place. Maybe you're there today, and maybe you've been there, and you've left that place, or it may be ahead of you, but whatever, God is with you. God loves you, and he's a God of leftover blessings. Father, I thank you for it now in Jesus' name. We go with your blessing. God bless you. God keep you. I love you. God love you. Enjoy the rest of your Thanksgiving blessing weekend. Amen. Give the Lord a praise offering. He's worthy to be praised. Have a great, great week.